Well, I remember a time when Carolyn was in about grade 5, and I got to be the cool parent that went on the school trip to chaperone it. And it was up to one of the day camps. And the game that they played late in the afternoon was Capture the Flag. And for those of you not familiar with the game, there are two flags, and the opposing team must try and capture the other team's flag. And it's played over a large, large field, or sometimes over an entire camp. So there's a lot of running. And if you are attacked by the opposing team in their territory, while you're on their side, you must go to jail until somebody tags you and frees you from the jail. So I had absolutely no hope of outrunning these kids. You know, I mean, some of you can identify with that. Some of you haven't gotten there yet, but that's okay. So my way of solving that problem was, even though I hadn't been tagged, I walked nonchalantly into the other person's field singing, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to jail I go." And they thought I hadn't been tagged until I went past the jail and then made a run to that flag and tried to bring it back over to the other territory. And for 30 seconds I was a hero, but they caught up with me. While I wasn't successful, it was a valiant effort. But I had to realize also that charging down the field was a lost cause, because they could see me coming and they could outrun me. I had to find another way of around the problem. Well, this morning's passage had a tension in it for me, particularly in the field where I work. See, the psalmist talks about terrible tragedies. And I'm just going to list them. He talks about the trap of a bird catcher, a very painful trap. He talks about destructive pestilence. He talks about the terrors of the night and the arrows that fly by day. Destruction that ravages at midday. Thousands will fall. 10,000s will fall. He talks about plagues. He talks about stepping on animals you really don't want to step on, namely cobras and lions. Not a good idea. And Psalm is believed was written by David. And I spent much time praying through this psalm this week. And it occurred to me that not much has changed since the writing of this psalm, almost 4,000 years ago now. While we may not have bird catchers or the snare of a fowler, we certainly have drug dealers that sell drugs that create an instant addiction. Growing up, alcohol and cigarettes were the vices of my generation, and it took some time to get addicted to them, and getting off of them, if you did get addicted, was possible. But now with the drugs that are being offered, it is just unbelievable to see the pain and the challenge of breaking through that addiction. In one jurisdiction, if you have been following the newspaper, they had so many people needing life support following taking a bad batch of drugs, they actually had to invoke their pandemic procedures to bring in all the firefighters, police, to keep these people breathing until the drugs wore off of their system. So there's still many snares for people. And we may not have arrows flying, but we certainly have bullets. And I'm trained to a level 4. If you ask me after, I can show you a picture. A level 4 protective equipment, personal protective equipment for Ebola and SARS, so that I can still minister to people who are very, very ill. So deadly pestilence hasn't gone away. And I've sat at the bedside of countless patients that have been injured in all those ways. I've been in healthcare as 9/11 unfolded. I've been through countless terrifying nights. Some of you may have encountered a bear or two in your camping trips, but we're probably more concerned with the animals that we read in the newspaper. Isn't it interesting how we call people who harm others animals? And where is God when thousands of refugees clamor over borders seeking refuge? What exactly is God promising those that are injured and maimed? And as I focused on the terrors, I kind of began to sink down in my own faith and wondering, what is it I want to say this morning? But as I wrote down the terrors and the awful things, I also began to write down what the psalmist was saying God offers us. Because throughout history, God surprises people by appearing in unexpected places and unexpected ways. And the psalmist captures that. And let me just read, just as I read some of those phrases that were so depressing, let me read some of the phrases that the psalmist offers us as God's way of meeting us. God is our shelter. We are under the shadow of God. He's our refuge and our stronghold. And we sang about that this morning at the beginning, the refuge and stronghold that God is. With his pinions, with his feathers, he will cover you over. Under his wings, you will find refuge. Faithfulness will be your shield and protective wall. The Most High will be your dwelling. Your angels charge over you. God will be with you in your distress and satisfy you with long life. It's quite an opposite list, isn't it? But then I began to realize that I had stopped at God is our stronghold. He will fight for us. He's our strength. He's our wall. He's so much more. Let me go back through some of those phrases and look at them a little more closely. One translation used the word for shelter, a secret place, and I went back in the language and I realized that a secret place is actually kind of a cool way of interpreting it. How many of us as children can remember having secret places that we shared? And we whispered to each other, and we took them, and maybe we built them. It might have been a fort in a tree. It might have been some little nook or cranny or cave that you found in the forest or the woods. Maybe it was a place under the stairs that you created for yourself. God is our secret place. In many ways, the church needs to renew itself as the best-kept secret. And let's face it, the best secrets are always shared, aren't they? The shelter that God offers us is that favorite spot that you return to time and time again. Maybe it's a holiday. Maybe it's a place that we love to go. But God offers us that in a world that sometimes seems so turbulent. God also says that we are under God's shadow. And we have a cultural bias against darkness. We have made darkness the enemy. We light up our city streets to the point where we can't sleep anymore. We've believed that darkness is evil, and very much so the opposite. Darkness is very much the place that God invites us into, that God is more deeply present. So if you find yourself underneath a shadow, at least stop for a moment and say, is that the shadow of God coming closer to me? The image of a bird. God's love is his pinions covering us over. A bird covering her chicks with her wings is the symbol also of Jesus covering us over in his frailty, and coming into us in human form. God continued to live into his fragile protection of his creation by sending Jesus. And when you think of it, a bird is really no match for the worst of calamities. But a bird stays with its chicks without leaving. We had a bird just outside of our house. I had an empty basket left over from the previous year's flower pot. And it was just hanging there waiting for the new flowers to come. But in the spring, a lovely mourning dove made that her nest and put her chicks there. And it was just lovely. Each morning we would come and look and see if the chicks were hatched. And at first she didn't trust us. She would fly away. And then, but once those eggs were in the nest, she would not leave it. She would make a lot of noise. She would try and scare us away. And eventually she kind of trusted that we were just peeking in to see what was going on. And she stayed in that nest until those birds left. And that's God's promise to us, that he stays with us until we are able to fly. And so under his wings we take refuge. The faithfulness will be your shield and protective wall. Sometimes we make our faithfulness our shield, not God's faithfulness. Our faithfulness says that bad things won't happen if we're God's people. God's faithfulness promises to be there with us when they do. Our faithfulness works at trying to protect ourselves by saving our money, eating the right foods, putting security cameras everywhere. But God's faithfulness trusts that we cannot go where God is not. Do you realize that if you're in downtown Toronto and having a 10-minute walk, your picture will be taken 40 times in that 10 minutes? 40 times. We're trying to make all of these protections are shield. In a world where thousands are falling and terrors are everywhere, we need the shield of God's faithfulness. The psalmist says, the Most High will be your dwelling place. And it made me think, where exactly is my address in my relationship with God? Where exactly am I living? And I think, if I'm honest with myself, I often live more often in fear and terror and watching the news and thinking that things are hopeless in the world and getting discouraged and frustrated. And then there's the address of anger and unforgiveness. And this is inviting me to make my new address, to send out my change of address form, to change the way I hear news in the world and saying, God is now my dwelling place. And yes, bad things are happening all around me. And they may actually happen to me as well, because it doesn't say you won't step on the lion. It doesn't say you won't step on the cobra. It doesn't say that pestilence won't come. It doesn't say that bad things won't happen. It says that they affect us and we feel differently about them if we are working to live with the Most High God. And then the promise that angels will be given charge over us. And I'm not sure how we came to the theological conclusion that if bullets were flying, God would be my bulletproof vest. That God is super vaccine against all of the ills of this world. How did I also come to the conclusion that angels watching over me might be a good thing? Because most angels in the Bible start out by saying, fear not. So angels are actually quite fearful things. So first of all, anyone that arrives at my doorstep that has to start by saying, fear not, is probably pretty intimidating. And I have that problem when I'm making phone calls from the hospital, because I don't like to start out my phone call by saying, hi, this is the chaplain calling from the hospital, because then people's anxiety levels go through the roof, and they're like, what is it? You know, what happened? Are they still alive? You know, so I usually start out by saying, your mother or father, whoever it is fine, and my name is, and I work in the ICU, and I'm calling to tell you about this, and I am the chaplain. Because if I start out with the chaplain, I've lost them already. The fear and the panic set in. And I learned that actually from the secretary at my daughter's school. She would always start out the phone call saying, your daughter is fine, I'm the school secretary calling. That's smart. This is the spiritual... Secondly, when you think about it, angels, for their reputation, for bringing comfort and keeping you out of trouble, is more of a myth than a biblical truth. Think about it. The angels didn't actually always bring good news. There was only one time when they brought good news. That was the birth of Jesus Christ. The other time, they told people that they were going through a hard time or going to go through a hard time, or God had a really big plan for them in their lives that was probably going to be pretty overwhelming. Angels told Mary she was going to be an unwed mother. Angels told Joseph that Mary was pregnant. They announced the news to the shepherds on the hillside, really the only good news. Angels ministered to Jesus in the desert. Think about it. He's 40 days without food or water and in extreme distress. And then the angels come along. Really, if I'm living at the right address, that's okay. I'm okay with that. But if I'm not at the right address with the Most High God, I might be thinking, can you show up 39 days earlier with some food? They come in warning. They come to correct. They come to call people to insurmountable tasks. So I'm thinking, before you pray for angels to watch over somebody, think about what you really want. Because I'm thinking, if an angel shows up at my door, I'm not answering. You know, you all have those people show up at your door and you're like, oh, I see their car in the driveway. They're here. What do I do with them? You should put angels into that category of people. God will be with you in your distress. The psalmist goes on to say, God will answer you when you call. And I will satisfy you with long life. You see, I don't know that the psalmist was saying that long life was the only way of seeing God's presence, but that each day we have is a gift. Each time the sun rises, we are meant to go on. Each time we get out of bed or can't get out of bed, God is giving us another day to find and to be in this world. And many of those days aren't going to be easy. And that's the piece I struggled with as I began to pull apart this psalm, is that so many times we're told in church and in sermons and in teachings on the radio is that it's going to be easier because we're God's children. But the psalmist reminds us, maybe not. Maybe not. God promises to be with us, to give us meaning and hope to go on for the next day. We began the service by singing, "A mighty fortress is our God." Words taken from the psalm we read. It's a hymn that takes the image of strength and power and places it almost into a battle song format, that very important march. And yet Psalm 91 also offers us so many more images of a bird and wings, God's strength and power, and in frailty, fiercely protecting his young. So my prayer for you this morning, my prayer for all of us and for myself, is that we may find the secret place. We may find shelter in God's love. When shadows come to you, may you find the comfort of knowing that God is coming near. May you feel the peace of God's protection and God's faithfulness to you. May each day your dwelling be a little bit more with the Most High. And each day be a day that the Lord has made for you. Amen. Well, the words of Timothy were, we take nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. And that how we use our resources is very important in our life with God. I would call upon the ushers to take up our morning offering.